We're constantly warned about the dangers of being overweight or obese. Even the government has proclaimed a war on obesity, demanding that steps be taken to end the epidemic. Our society glorifies the slender and super fit, and our concerns over body image boost a $54 billion diet industry. But according to the new science of obesity, the lean models and the mean athletes may be heading to an early grave. All of this is addressed in the new book, The Obesity Paradox, where cardiologist and researcher Carl Levie reveals the truth that heavier people may actually be healthier than thinner people. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Dr. Carl Levie to the program. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
It's great to be here, Joe.
Where do you think this paradox comes from?
Well, I think that, and I want to emphasize from the beginning that I am not trying to promote obesity or to try to suggest that normal weight people gain weight. But my colleagues and I have been involved in groundbreaking research for the last 15 years that I think has been surprising to me somewhat as a doctor. Certainly the work has been controversial, and in a lot of ways, I think, has turned conventional wisdom on its head. But our research, I think, has clearly pointed out that fat is not always the devil. And in fact, our data and data from others has frequently showing that fitness is much more important than weight with regard to long-term outcomes. And the fact is, when you look at somebody and see that they're thin, I think a lot of people initially have the perception that they're healthy. But a lot of people who are thin could be physically weak, have low muscle, not be physically active, not be fit. And that person is actually worse off than the heavier person, and especially worse off than the heavier person who's fit.
In reading the book, if I read it correctly, it seems that one of the cases that you're making here is that we're all different, and that my healthy weight may be different than your healthy weight. We all have different builds, and that what has to come to an understanding is if we have a weight, and instead of looking at a chart that was developed a long time ago that tells us that we are now 20 pounds overweight, that we should ultimately trust our body in a lot of this.
Well, first of all, what you're referring to, Joe, is that the BMI, the body mass index, which
right.
is basically just a height and weight chart, and then classifies people into underweight, normal weight, overweight, obese, and then you have different degrees of obesity, that this is not perfect at all because it does not take into account all the difference between fat and muscle. And so two people who are the same height can have the same weight, and one could be solid muscle, and an example of that is the middle linebacker in the NFL who would be classified as obese on the BMI chart, but they're solid muscle. And then some people have a relatively low BMI but have hardly any muscle, and they're all fat. And so the BMI is first of all, not perfect. But it is a good general gauge because in our adult society, there are not too many people that have a real high BMI that are solid muscle like the linebackers in the NFL. But even using the BMI criteria, there was a major study that was published in January 2013 by Catherine Flegel of the CDC, the Center of Disease Control. It was a study, 97 studies of 2.9 million people, had a lot of statistical power with over 270,000 deaths. And in this paper, although they showed the obese had higher death rates, it was all due to the more severe obesity, which is called class 2 obese, BMIs above 35, or class 3 obese, which is sometimes referred to as morbid obesity. I think that's a mean term, but class 3 is severe obesity, BMIs above 40. They had excess mortality. But in this study, the overweight BMI, which is between 25 and 30, actually had a 6% lower mortality than did the normal BMI, and our mild obese, which is class 1 obesity, which is BMIs between 30 and 35, had a 5% lower mortality than did the normal BMI. That wasn't quite statistically significant, but the data clearly does not allow us to say that the overweight and mild obese BMIs are groups of people that are dying more. If anything, they're having a better survival.
You mentioned a moment ago that it's not so much about the obesity as it is your rate of fitness and movement. And I guess the question to me that becomes an obvious question, which is, well, if you're doing that and you're being fit, well, aren't you going to lose weight?
Obviously, exercise is a very good way to prevent weight gain. And doing lots of exercise, you will actually lose weight. But, for example, if somebody's very heavy, it almost takes about 35 miles of walking or jogging to lose a pound of fat. So exercise is a much better way to prevent weight gain than it is to produce large amounts of weight loss. Now, exercise also is a great way to improve one's fitness, which is an even considerably better predictor of survival than is the actual weight. But exercise is much better at preventing weight gain than it is at actually producing large amounts of weight loss. Certainly if someone starts doing a fair amount of exercise, they can lose 5, 10, 15 pounds. But you don't usually see 100 pounds of weight loss by just doing exercise.
You talk in the book about fat real estate. And is the location of the fat important? And at least for most of us, you do say that belly fat is very dangerous.
We even have studies with belly fat in certain groups of patients that even show that in people with coronary disease, among the people who are not fit, those who have more belly fat actually had a better survival than those who had less belly fat. And it is a paper in heart failure by the UCLA group from Tamara Harwick and Greg Fonaroy that showed that in their bad heart failure patients, those who had a higher BMI and a higher waist circumference actually were living the longest. So there is actually a paradox even with waist circumference. But in general, most of the studies, if you look at healthy people, among healthy people, those who have more waist circumference generally have what's called more visceral fat. That's the fat around the organs. When you're looking at someone's waist, you're still measuring subcutaneous fat, but generally the fat around the waist suggests that one has a higher percentage of visceral fat, the fat around the organs, whereas subcutaneous fat is generally protective, and visceral fat is associated with more cardiometabolic disorders like raising the blood pressure, having lipid disorders, raising the blood sugars, causing inflammation, causing fat to develop in the liver, all of which are generally bad things. Now, from a survival standpoint, having just subcutaneous fat, particularly around the hips area and the buttocks, that's actually very cardioprotective from a survival standpoint. Now, people may not like the way it looks, and they may not like the way their bathing suit or their dress fits when they have a lot of fat around the hips. But from just a survival standpoint, this is the type of fat that actually leads to cardioprotection. And generally, that's the case with subcutaneous fat, the fat that we see. But the fact about fat, and no pun intended with that, that generally when people gain weight, they gain both subcutaneous fat and visceral fat. Now, some people gain more visceral and more subcutaneous versus subcutaneous and vice versa. But generally, when people put on 50 pounds of weight, they're gaining both fat viscerally and subcutaneously.
And as you point out toward the end of the book, that what you got to figure out is how to strike a balance. And you have recommendations in the book. But overall, when it comes to us striking a balance, how should we approach that?
I think the most important thing is if someone is extremely obese, certainly, I mean, if someone has BMIs approaching 40 or exceeding 40, clearly weight loss is needed. And sometimes those people need medications or even weight loss surgeries. But for the majority of people who are carrying 20, 30, or 40 extra pounds, and maybe they've tried to lose weight and been unsuccessful, or they've lost weight many times but gained it back, and they're sitting 20, 30, 40 pounds higher than they want to be, it's not doomsday for them. If they can get their fitness to be at a decent level, get themselves out of the bottom category of fitness, basically they can put themselves in a survival category that's equal or better to a thin person, and certainly better than a thin person who's unfit. And it's a lot easier to become fit than it is to lose weight and maintain the weight loss, because all it takes to become fit, except for the lucky person who's by heredity and genes,
yeah,
is naturally fit to begin with. But for most people, the way you get fit is by doing physical activity. And you don't have to do lots of physical activity. Basically, doing something like walking 30 minutes, 3, 4, 5 times a week can get one out of the low fitness category and at least into decent fitness categories. And many people find that easier to accomplish and be successful with than with losing weight and maintaining the weight loss. And of course, if they're doing that physical activity to maintain their fitness, they're typically preventing further weight gain.
The name of the book, The Obesity Paradox: When Thinner Means Sicker and Heavier Means Healthier. The book is published by Plume. Dr. Carl Levy, thank you very much for spending time with us and sharing your knowledge with us.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Again, the name of the book, The Obesity Paradox. It's published by Plume. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.